And the tacky sweater contest, I want you guys to participate in that. Right? So I'm going to do it, and then I'm going to re-gift my sweater to somebody, right? Right? So you can do that, too. So anyway, try to do that, man. It's going to be fun. Let's do that. Let me also encourage you, church, to invite people to our Christmas Eve service, which is, of course, on Sunday, which is a great, the way the calendar falls, it's a great opportunity to bring somebody that wouldn't normally go to church. You know, Easter and Christmas are the two main times that you can get people to come and hear about Jesus. And I just encourage you to use that. Bring people to the service. It's a great opportunity to get people into the kingdom and to hear about Jesus and to see that church can actually be a great experience. So, guys, let's take advantage of that. Please be thinking on your heart. Now, who do I know that's just not in church? They're just de-churched, they're lost, whatever, give up on church, you know. Lord, show me who they are and help me to get them to come and stuff. Also, let me encourage you, this coming January, as we do every year, we have 21 days of prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. If you're new to the church, some of you may say, well, Pastor, I don't know about that fasting thing. I thought that was Old Testament stuff. No, it's New Testament stuff. Jesus didn't say if you fast, he said what? When you fast. So we do a Daniel fast, and you can look that up online. You can go as strict as you want to on the Daniel fast. I encourage you to do, if you did it before, if you did it last year, the year before, whatever, keep going deeper with God. Amen? In other words, if you never gave up your coffee or whatever, then give it up for those 21 days. Now, some of you are thinking, now you're meddling, preacher. You're really meddling. No, if it means something to you, then I want you to, you know, do it for God. He said, well, why would we have prayer and fasting? Well, fasting helps you get your spirit man on top so that you can pray effectively. Amen? That's why they're the peanut butter and jelly of the scripture. They're so powerful together. So that's what we're going to do in January. I want to prepare you for that, to start thinking about your meals and how you can make that happen in your life. Because when we do it corporately, guys, it sets the whole year up in the spirit realm to hear and follow and flow into the will of God for what he wants Divine Church to do. So then we'll have prayer again, 21 days of prayer in August to finish out the year. But this one in January is very important, so I want to gear you up for that. And also, since we have a big election this Tuesday, I encourage you to go out and vote. Vote for biblical principles. This president's going to put several Supreme Court justices on the Supreme Court. That is so crucial that those Supreme Court justices are conservative judges, because they're going to interpret the law. They're going to make laws. Well, they don't make them, but they tell you what's real and what's not real according to them. It's very important in what's going on in our country, so please do that. Please go out and vote Tuesday. All right. Guys, I'm excited about this series called Living in His Presence. Say His Presence. And after today, it's just the beginning of it, this series, I want you to have a greater understanding of what His presence is all about. In fact, one of the goals that I have every week in our leadership team is to get you in an experience of the presence of God. That's why we're here, because when you get in the presence of God, things happen. People get saved. People rededicate their life. They get healed physically, emotionally. Demons leave in the presence of God. So you can have church and never get into the presence of God. Do you know that? Do you know that? I've been to church. I've been to church meetings and stuff where the presence of God, and I'm going to talk about that more, the manifest presence of God just wasn't in the service. And therefore, basically, nothing happened. It's just a meeting. It's like a Lions Club meeting, okay? Kiwanis Club meeting. And that's not what we're about. That's not what the Bible's about. It's about experiencing the presence of God. And that's what this series is all about. So today, the title is simply His Presence. His Presence. Let me break this down into three concepts of God's presence that'll make it come alive to you. All right? This is not in your notes, but I would write it down if I was taking notes. The first one of the presence of God is the omnipresence. O-M-N-I-P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. Omnipresence of God. Say omnipresence. All right? What is omnipresence? Well, omnipresence means that God is everywhere. Let's look in your notes there at Psalm 139:7, which proves this out. Where can I go from your spirit? This is King David. Or where can I flee from your presence? So the omnipresence of God means that God is literally everywhere. You can't run and hide from God. You may say, well, I get that. I get that, Pastor. I get that. All right. The second one, like once again, not in your notes, but you can write it down, the inner presence of God. Say inner presence. The inner presence of God. That's the Holy Spirit who came to live and dwell within believers. Jesus said when he was on the earth, and this is taught in the scriptures, that the Holy Spirit came upon mankind and then would depart. But now Jesus said, after I leave and go to the Father, I will send the Holy Spirit, and he will dwell in you for eternity. All right? He will dwell in you if you are a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ. And the third one, and this is in your notes there, number one there would be his manifest presence. Say manifest. His manifest presence. And that's what I'm really going to concentrate on in this message, is the manifest presence of God, where he makes his presence known among us. He makes his presence known among us. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the importance of experiencing the manifest presence of God, especially in worship, which I want to ask you, did you guys feel his manifest presence in, well, and this is when I felt it. I felt it the last song. Did anybody feel that? And it basically pretty much happens, if especially if we're in the Spirit, and that's what I want to get you and I to understand. We have to cultivate the presence of God in our life. So pretty much every week, it might be the second song, the third song, the fourth song. It's typically not the first song for me, okay? I don't really feel it particularly then, but I did feel it the fourth song. I was overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit, and actually the Lord started speaking to me about a person in the church. And I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to say what he told me to say. What is your name? Yes, you. You, what is your name? No, her. Yes. Dorothy? Stand up, Dorothy. When the presence of God came upon me, the Lord told me to tell you that he notices you. He notices your heart. You have a combination of the heart of Mary and Martha. And he wants you to know that whatever you really need in your life, that he is available to meet that need. Amen, everybody. Amen. See, I didn't even know Dorothy's name. I should. I'm sorry. She's on the dream team, but it's a big dream team. But I'm telling you, and that's what I'm saying, guys. In the presence of God, things happen. Things happen. We have a gentleman here. His hand got healed. I mean, we told a little bit about that story, but his hand got healed in the service. And I know when that happened, when the manifest presence of God came in the service. Jason was going to pray for him before the service, and he didn't have time. He was running around getting ready to teach his foundation class, but he just said, in Jesus' name, that's going to be healed. So when he came in during the service, God healed his hand. Do you see what I'm saying? That's why we need to cultivate the presence of God, because in the presence, the manifest presence of God, things happen. Amen, everybody? Things happen, and it's amazing the things that happen. All right. And I want to show you how, like I said in this message, some of the ways that we can cultivate the presence of God. So we're on number one. We're talking about the manifest presence of God. Guys, this started when God, in the Scripture, walked with Adam and Eve. And you, if you know your Bible, you know that story where it says that, and I'll read the Scripture in a minute, but the Lord walked with them in the cool of the day. So God actually started it. It was his plan all along, because you can see it in Genesis 1, that he wanted for you and I to experience the manifest presence of God. All right, so let me read Genesis 3:8. The Bible says this, and when they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Now this is, of course, after they had eaten the forbidden fruit. Okay, the Lord said the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. Don't you eat any tree in the garden. There's thousands of trees in the garden, but don't eat of this one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what happened? Man gave in to the temptations of Satan and ate of the wrong tree. And, of course, everything happened negatively after that. The fall of man happened. So anyway, but they're actually doing what many of us do when we sin. We feel like we've got to run from the presence of God, right? And just the opposite of that is true. You really need to run to God when you sin. I'm talking to the Christian now. I'm talking to a believer. You don't run away from him. Run to him and get it right with God, right? Repent. Get it right with the Lord. That's what we need to do. That's what the Holy Spirit is trying to woo us to do so that we can stay in the manifest presence of God. And I want to ask you that, church. Do you think you can live in the manifest presence of God? And I want to answer that for you. Yes, you can. You can, but you have to cultivate this in your life to live in the manifest presence of God. So, anyway, let me hold on. I had a question here I wanted to ask you guys. All right. So, is it possible to leave the presence of God? Is it possible to leave the presence of God? Well, yes, it is when we start understanding the different types of the presence of God, and that's why I mentioned those to you. This is not talking about the omnipresence of God, right? Because Adam and Eve he's everywhere in that respect, but they could hide from his manifest presence of God, his made known presence of God. Do you see that? Do you see what I'm talking about? You know, can you run from and hide from God? Not from the omnipresent side, but you can from the manifest presence of God. Okay? Let's look at the scripture there, Exodus 33, 14 through 15. The Bible says this. And he said, my presence, say my presence, will go with you and I will give you rest. Then he said to him, this is Moses talking to God, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. So Moses and God are actually having a conversation, and God's telling Moses to go to the promised land and take it from the enemy. And he's going, well, I'm not going to go if your manifest presence does not go with me. And I think that's important for us to grasp that. How could he say my presence will go with you when God is everywhere? Well, he's not talking about the omnipresence of God. He's talking about the manifest presence of God. Walking with Moses like he did with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day in the garden. So let me give you an example. Let me make this practical to us today. All right. If we had a multi-billionaire, say multi-billionaire, sitting in the service, and his presence would just be among us, right? They're just sitting in the service, so their presence is here, you know, okay. But if this person began to do what only a multi-billionaire can do, and that's to go around to Brother Bobby and say, I'm a multi-billionaire, I feel like God wants me to do this, I'm going to write you a check for $1 million. Amen. Amen. Bubba, check for $1 million. Not Dara, but Bubba. No, I get I'm kidding. But he started writing everybody $1 million because he could do it. So that, you know, that's what I'm trying to say here. There's a difference between him just being in the service, just being quiet and listening to the preaching or whatever and singing, or him actually doing what a multi-billionaire can do, and that's manifest his presence with zeros, right? And dollar signs and stuff like that. So that's what I'm trying to say. Let me make it practical even more. When you and I come to church or we get in our quiet time with God, God wants to manifest his presence, make his presence known to us. He wants to do what we can't do for ourselves. Amen? I can't write $1 million check. Maybe you can, but praise the Lord. But this multi-billionaire could write one, right? All right, if he wanted to, so he could make his presence known. God wants to do that for you and I, make his presence known. Amen? Amen. All right, number two in your notes there. We talked about his manifest presence. Let's talk about leaving his presence. Leaving his presence. Is it possible to leave the presence of God? Once again, not the omnipresence, but the manifest presence. Absolutely. Adam and Eve hid from the manifest presence of God in chapter 3 of Genesis. Now look in chapter 4 where Cain, you know the story, Cain killed his brother Abel. All right, let's read that. Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, so he killed his brother Abel. God didn't like his sacrifice. He brought some fruit and vegetables or whatever, and brother Abel brought an animal sacrifice, and I think the teaching had been it needs to be blood, and it was a heart issue also. So anyway, this is what's going on here. Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. By the land of Nod is where they took a lot of naps. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for laughing. Okay. All right. So anyway, that's what's going on here. You can't leave the omnipresence of God, but you can leave the manifest presence of God. Now look at Jonah here, Jonah 1, 1 through 3. You know the story of Jonah. You know, if you grew up in church, you know the story of Jonah. Jonah had the first submarine ride, right? You know, God told him to go to this city, Nineveh. The Bible says the sins have come up from the sins from the Nineveh. He's a prophet. Go preach to them people and tell them they need to repent. Jonah said, no, I don't want to do that. You know, so he runs from God. And that's what, let me pick that up right there. Jonah 1, 1 through 3. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Verse 3. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence, once again, of the Lord. So he's simply, church, he's fleeing the manifest presence of God. You can't flee the omnipresence of God, obviously. He's everywhere. But you and I can flee the manifest presence of God. So question that bears asking, church, how do you leave the manifest presence of God? Very simple. You choose to not do what God has asked you to do. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? You and I just simply choose that we're not going to do what God has asked us to do. So we basically just step away from the manifest presence of God. And I'm going to show you why that's a problem in just a moment. So we see it right here in our story. He told Adam and Eve not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They did. And they got kicked out of the garden, which the garden contained where God walked with a manifest presence, his manifest presence there. He told Cain, he said, Cain, deal with your attitude. Deal with your attitude. Your sacrifice that you brought here is not correct. I'm not going to accept it. Your brothers, I did. Deal with it. Deal with your attitude. In other words, you need to change, Cain. I'm not going to change. You change. Cain said, I'm not going to do that. Wound up killing his brother, and he has to flee from the presence of God. Same way with Jonah. Go to Nineveh. He said, no, I'm not going. I'm not going. How many of you and I do that in our life? We go, I'm not going. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to witness. I'm not going to fast. The preacher's crazy. I'm not fasting. I'm not doing that. You know, I'm not going to do this, not going to do that. Well, let's look at obedience and what God does say about obedience. All right, so let me ask you a question also, church. When you heard God, what are you going to do? When you've heard God through the Scripture, and if you read the Scripture, my friend, you're hearing the Word of God, what are you going to do with it? Let's just say that, how many of you were here the last time I preached on tithing? Well, I need to preach on tithing. There's not enough hands going up, okay? Let's just say that you were here when I preached on tithing. What the Bible says about tithing, that it's not an Old Testament principle, it's a universal principle throughout the Scripture, okay, that the first 10%, you say, what's the tithe, preacher? It's the first 10% of what you make off the top, the first fruits, goes to the house of the Lord, okay? It doesn't go to your favorite TV preacher, doesn't go to blah, blah, blah. It's supposed to go to where you worship and where you're fed. Amen, everybody? Yeah. Woo! Almost got a big amen there. All right, so anyways, just say that I preached that a year ago, but whatever reason, you say, well, I'm not going to tithe. We're a little short this month. God will understand. We're a little short this month. And you say, I'm not tithing. Well, hey, what have you done? You have stepped out of the manifest presence of God. Now, you're not the omnipresent, but you have stepped out from the manifest presence of God. And in the manifest presence of God, listen to me, church, there is protection. There is blessing. There is peace. There is that satisfaction of walking in the will of God. Amen, everybody. In that, there's a protective covering. You know, and I know how people think, because I have this stuff go through my mind sometime before. I could hear somebody going, well, preacher, I quit tithing, and I made the most money I've ever made this year. I made $100,000, six figures for the first time. What do you say about that? Well, I say the Word of God is true, and you're a liar. That's what I say. And I say if you made $100,000, you'd have probably made $150,000 if you'd have done what God had told you to do with that money. Amen, everybody? You have stolen from God. That's why the Bible says in Malachi, why are you robbing me? Why are you robbing me? Come on, church. I'm preaching better than y'all shout. Are y'all awake? Are y'all awake? All right. Now, let me say this. I'm not talking about a simple mistake. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about my wife calls me and says, hey, babe, bring some milk home. You know, and I get busy and blah, 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 and I get home. She goes, where's the milk? And I went, oh, God, the milk. Anybody ever do that, guys? You ever do that? You know, I got to turn around and go back and get it, you know. But if I willfully say, I'm not picking up milk. I don't want to do that. I don't have time for that. And I get home and I tell Carla, I didn't want to do that. How do you say sleep on the couch that night? How do you say that? Say that very, very well, don't we? All right. So let me give you another example. This is real life in my house. I'm a person that likes to get in my recliner, and I want everything in reach of my recliner. Any pile people here? I'm a pile person. Have little piles. I want to be able to reach it. It drives my wife nuts. It drives her nuts. But listen, and then I'm not as good as I need to be at this, but I'm getting better. Because I love her, and I enjoy her manifest presence. Are you with me here? I enjoy her manifest presence. Then I will clean that mess up and clean those piles up and reduce them down to nothing. They won't last, but I will do it, you know. Because you can live with somebody and not really live with somebody, right? I can come to church and really not experience God, the manifest presence of God, like we really need and should, right? We can go through the motions, church. I don't want you and me going through the motions. I don't want to come in, got my church in, click, you know, I clock out, blah, blah, blah. No, I want you to experience the creator of the universe, the one who sent Jesus to live and die for me and you. Amen, everybody? And I want you and I to do that on a daily basis. A daily basis. You say, how do you do that? I want to show you as we keep going through the message. But I'm telling you, you and I have to cultivate the manifest presence of God. One thing is this, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, right? Do not, you say, well, I wouldn't do it on purpose. Well, hopefully we wouldn't do it on purpose, but sometimes we do it even out of ignorance, where we're grieving the Holy Spirit by our actions, you know, gossiping, revenge, getting revenge. We think we're on somebody, not forgiving people. All that stuff grieves the Holy Spirit, and we just simply step away from the manifest presence of God. Let me say this too, and I say this a lot, but I'm going to keep saying it a lot because I believe it's a word from God. Every person, every Christian person I know, including myself, is deceived in some level. So why would you say that, Pastor? Because I'm not going to stand up here and tell you I've got everything perfect in all of my doctrine. I will stand up here and tell you that the part about getting you into heaven, the essentials of the faith, I understand that, okay? But all the other stuff, some of the non-essential stuff, nobody's got perfect doctrine. We are deceived in some aspect. The question I ask myself, and the question you need to ask yourself is, where and how much am I deceived? Amen? Listen, the reason I'm saying that is I have people come to me as a pastor, and they'll come to me and they'll go, Pastor, let me talk to you. I said, okay. And they'll go, you know, the Lord told me so-and-so. Now, I know God didn't tell them that. You say, how do you know? Because I know the Bible pretty good, okay? Not perfectly, but I know the basis of the Bible. And God did not tell them that because it went exactly against what God already said, right? So they have been living outside of the manifest presence of God. They think everything's fine, but they're deceived. They're deceived. They're missing out on God's best because of deception in their life. If we are not experiencing the manifest presence of God, church, on a regular basis in our personal life, we are missing out on God's best. Amen? See, I don't think we've even realized, for years, I didn't realize the manifest presence of God, even what it was, and how I could live in it in a regular daily basis, and how fulfilling my life would be. Amen? Listen, when you're full of Jesus, the Holy Spirit is oozing out of you. You're experiencing the presence of God. It's hard for the world to mess up your party. Amen? But when you're not, man, the world can mess up your party very easily. Somebody pulls out in front of you in traffic, right? Just mess your party up. Not that that would ever happen or anything in Troy, Alabama or anything like that. All right. Number three, in your notes there. Entering his presence. Say entering. Entering his presence. We're going to practice the presence of God. So how do we enter the presence of God? Guys, there's a lot of ways, and some of these things will be covered in the series, but I want to talk about worship today, primarily. Look at Psalm 95, 1 through 2 in your notes there. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. So you can sing and you can shout and be in the will of God. Let us come before what? His presence. Let us come before his presence with what? Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, man. You want to get in the presence of God real quick? Start thanking God for what he's already done for you. Amen, everybody. That might take a while if we really stop and think about it. Just start thanking God. Thank you, Father, for my health, my salvation, my health, my children, my spouse, you know, my job, you know, just I got a bed to sleep in tonight. I got a roof over my head. I'm going to have food in my stomach. Man, just be grateful and thankful for what God's doing. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. All right, look at Psalm 100 there, 1 through 2. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, or noise to the Lord. I like noise because I kind of go the noise route. All you lands, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with what? Singing. Singing. I've told you this before. When God comes in our service, you know, God really, really enjoys the singing and the praise and worship. Why? Because he's worthy of that, right? You know, God doesn't need preaching. He is the word, right? We need preaching, teaching, all that kind of stuff. But God really inhabits the what? Praises of his people. So I want to encourage you, men and women. I want to challenge you to get past your comfort zone. You know, go past your comfort zone of, well, one of the songs said, lift your hands, you know. If you're intimidated to lift your hands and you're not comfortable lifting your hands, what's that say? You're probably not operating in the manifest presence of God, because God's not about your comfort, is he? It's not about your comfort. No, it's about who is worthy of your praise. That's what it's about. And you need to cop an attitude. Say cop an attitude. You need to cop an attitude that you don't care who's to the left. You don't care who's to the right, who's to the front, and who's to the back. You may knock somebody in the head, but you're going to raise your hand. From time to time, amen, everybody? Because you just don't care what's going on around you. It's you and God, an audience of one, and you are in the manifest presence of God. That's where God wants to take the body of Christ, right there. You know, we can hoop and holler for our favorite teams, but we can't hoop and holler for the one who saved our soul. Something's wrong with that, amen, everybody? Something's wrong with that. All right. So we're going to talk about in this series, guys, that music and singing and praise and worship might be more important than you and I think about the manifest presence of God. Now, where's Pastor Corey? Is he here? He stepped out. Okay, now I can talk about what he did to me, guys. Yeah, I can talk about it. So I'm worshiping with Pastor Corey one time up front, and I'm singing and having a big time, and you can sing like Elf, you things, you know. I'm singing. And the guy said, oh, Hector said something like, oh, y'all greet everybody. So instead of greeting, Pastor Corey leaned over to me and he said, you're like a jailhouse singer. And I went, hey, that's a compliment, man. Like Paul and Silas, you know, in prison, praising the Lord. He said, no. He said, you're always behind a few bars looking for a key. That's what he said. Now I got to preach on encouragement. How to encourage the pastor. No, I'm kidding. He didn't say that. But he could if he was honest, okay? But, you know, you might say, Pastor, I'm like you. I'm not musically inclined. It's not about being musically inclined. It's about your heart worshiping Almighty God. Amen? That's what it's about. The one is worthy of your praise. And let me say this, too, and I alluded to it at the first of the service. When you come to our church, and I love to bring visitors to our church because I know what's going to happen, but they come, and the praise team, I'm telling you, is world class, man. This is world class what they do here. And and they'll tell me, and everybody after the service or people come up to me, they'll go, wow. Man, that praise and worship was something. You know, but let me tell you what they're not saying. Although it's true, they're not saying these are very gifted musicians and singers. They're not really saying that. They think they are, but they're really not saying it. What they're saying is these gifted and talented singers are bringing the manifest presence of God because of their heart for the Lord. Amen, everybody? And you and I are experiencing that week in and week out. And it's so powerful. It's how you grow the church. Because I'm telling you, people come to meet God, don't they? They don't come just to come. You know, even though we need fellowship, we need all the kind of cool things we get from gathering together as believers, but they come because they really want to encounter Almighty God, because I think you and I really know in our hearts and our spirits that only He can really solve our problems. Amen, everybody? Only He can fix our issues and stuff that we have. So I love, and I know you do too, to experience the manifest presence of God. And church, I want you to cultivate it. I want you and I to learn how to cultivate the presence of God. Well, one time we wake up in the morning, by the grace of God, Lord, not, oh, Lord, it's morning, but good morning, Lord. Amen? That's how you and I start our day, and we're like, Father, I'm excited. You love me. I have a destiny. I have a book that you've written about me. Help me fulfill that you've written about my life. And put some praise and worship music on, okay? Instead of play that funky music, white boy. Play that Christian music, white boy. Right? And lay down the country. And how's the rest of it go? And da-da-da-da-da-da-da, whatever, okay? You say you're against country music? No, I'm not against country music. Not against anything like that. I'm just saying, guys, I can experience the presence of God more if I listen to a Christian worship song than I can from a secular artist. I don't think I'm unique in that, okay? If you want to listen to a little secular, that's one thing. But I'm telling you, I would encourage you that most of your music that you take in is not about kicking a dog in your four-wheel drive truck, all right, and cheating on your wife and blah, 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 and all that kind of stuff. No, it's more about Jesus, amen? The presence of God, and that's what I'm talking about. If you're getting that hunger, Pastor, I feel it. I get it. In the song, I felt that. I want more of that on a day-by-day basis than you and I have to cultivate it, right? You know, I try to watch very careful what I watch on TV, try to listen to what comes in my ears, you know, through music and stuff, what my eyes are seeing, stuff like that, just because the junk of the world is just so prevalent, right? And it will defile you. It will defile me. You know, I love this scripture where it talks about His mercies are new every morning. So every day, guys, we have a chance to walk in the manifest presence of God. And when, like I said, guys, when we walk in the manifest presence of God, when we come around people that we encounter during our day, if they need prayer, then you're bold. You've got boldness in the manifest presence of God. You will pray for them right there. You can ask, can I pray for you? Most people say, absolutely. Right there in Walmart, you know. I'll pray for you. Ain't going to make some elaborate, loud prayer. Just pray. Pray the prayer of faith right there on them. Watch God heal them. Set them free from whatever's bothering them. Fear, anxiety. Give them an encouraging word. You know, that's what happens in the manifest presence of God. And that's where we want to walk 24/7. And let me just say this from a personal standpoint as we close here. The Lord has convicted me about, in my quiet time, where I pray, read my Bible. I know you guys do that too. But he said, why aren't you praising me during this time? And I'm like, that's a good question, you know. So put some praise and worship music on. Give yourself a little time just to, and you say, what do you mean give a little time? The manifest presence of God is not a science. It's an art. It's the art of the presence of God, the Holy Spirit of God. manifesting his presence to you. So it may take, in 2 minutes, I may be in the manifest presence of God. The song is halfway through. It may take two songs to get in the manifest presence of God. But I encourage you in your quiet time, your Bible reading, your Bible study, put some praise and worship music on and say, Lord, I've come to meet with you. Amen? Do you know God is longing for you and I to say that and to do it? He's longing to do it. Why did God create mankind? Did he need us? He didn't need us. He had need of nothing. But yet he actually desired fellowship. Amen? God, the creator who needed nothing, who spoke the worlds into existence, let there be, and there was, has this thing in his heart, not only to create, but to experience fellowship with you and me. That blows me away, that the God of the universe knows me. Just like the word from our sister here. You know, out of all the people in here, and I'm not saying there couldn't have been other words for other people, but I'm telling you, God gave me a word just for her. Just for her. Because that's how special we all are in his sight. Amen? Amen. So anyway, I've incorporated the praise time in my quiet time, and it's making a difference. Salvations, healings, deliverances, the gospel of Jesus Christ happens in the presence. We pray the prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? On earth as it is in heaven. How does that happen? You're walking in the manifest presence of God. Amen, everybody? You're walking in the manifest presence of God because you're being obedient to what God has told you to do. Amen, everybody? Let's pray together. Bow your heads and close your eyes, if you will. Nobody moving around unless you have to. Let's give the Lord just a few minutes to minister to us in this last part of the service. Father, we love you. We praise you. We worship you, Father God. Lord, I pray for an incredible appetite for your presence, Lord. That we won't settle for what the world has, the counterfeits of the world, but we will walk as authentic believers, Lord, living daily in the manifest presence of God. Will we take every thought captive? Where we, as our will, choose not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Where we're obedient, Father, to what you've already told us in Scripture. And then, Father, we experience all those neat, amazing, powerful things that happen in the manifest presence of God. Church, as we continue to pray, I want to challenge you. In our notes there in the beginning, we had what's called the inner presence of God, the inner dwelling of God. And my friend, you and I cannot have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our hearts without a conversion experience, without being born again, as the Scripture talks about, trusting the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Some of you may be here today and you would say, well, Pastor, I guess you're talking to me. I would not claim to have had this experience that you're talking about. Because friend, let me tell you something. If you had the experience, you would know it because you were there. And what I'm talking about is this, that you really feel the power of the Holy Spirit. You may not know who that is, but he's going, you need Jesus. You're a sinner. You were born a sinner. Everybody was born a sinner. We all sin. We were born that way. We had a fallen nature toward God. And the Holy Spirit's saying, you don't have to stay that way. Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, came and lived a perfect, sinless life. He became the perfect sacrifice for all the sins of all of mankind. He died on the cross. That's a fact. They put him in a tomb. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. That's a fact. Defeating death, hell, and the grave, so that you and I could be made right with God, the Holy Spirit could come and dwell within us, and then we could experience the manifest presence of God. Some of you may be here today and you go, Pastor, I am a believer. I'm a Christian. There's no doubt about my conversion was real, but I am not where I need to be today. There's sin in my life. There's junk. I don't like it. I'm in a vicious cycle. I get convicted. I repent of it. I'm back. And I need to be free from that today. How can I do that? Well, the same way. You repent of sin, which means you acknowledge it. You turn away from it. You walk toward the Lord. You look for His power. That's right, my friend. His manifest power inside of you saves you. His manifest power inside of you restores you back to Him. His manifest power inside of you keeps you close to Jesus. So that's the challenge today, church. In just a minute, I'm not going to ask anybody to come down an aisle, but I am going to ask you in a minute, if you want prayer for salvation or to rededicate your life, that you would just lift your hand, and you can put it down, and then we'll all pray together corporately, and then we'll go home. So I'm going to count to three. I want you to be bold and be brave this morning. If you're lost, my friend, eternity is at stake. Eternity is at stake. You cannot get into heaven without this experience of being born again. It will not happen. Jesus will make no exceptions. That's why He had to die such a cruel death. There was no other way. And if you want to rededicate your life, you lift your hand too, and we'll pray that too. Ready? One, two, three. Hold them up just a minute. Anybody else? Okay, you can put them down. Thank you. We saw some hands going up. We're going to pray a sinner's prayer, a rededication prayer, all in one, my friend. I just ask you to mean it from the bottom of your heart, and I promise you Almighty God will meet you at your point of need. Pray this with me out loud. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I admit I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. His name is Jesus. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Come into my heart and forgive me. Cleanse me. Restore me back to You. Lord Jesus, I believed You lived a perfect life. You died on the cross and they buried You. And You rose from the dead 3 days later. Just for me. So Lord, thank You for saving me. Lord, thank You for restoring me back to You on this great day. And all God's people said, amen. You guys stand and give God some praise this morning.